Welcome back to Administrative Static, and we're joined by our colleague Greg Dolan to discuss, I think I put it on LinkedIn to crow a little bit, that our client, Judge Pauline Newman, who has been administratively taken out of circulation by the Fed Circuit, and we've talked about this case. In fact, I think the government has a reply coming up soon.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So, but Greg, what's happened in the meantime?
So, an interesting development happened. So, a few years ago, there was a Veterans Affairs case. So, Federal Circuit is mostly known for patents, but they also do the Court of Exclusive Jurisdiction for veterans claims. And a veteran came claiming that VA department owes him some education benefits. VA said they don't. The case was heard by a panel of three judges. Judge Newman was presiding and wrote an opinion in favor of the veteran. Her colleague disagreed with her, took the case en banc, and reversed the panel on a vote of 10 to 2. So the two original members of the panel still were stuck to their views. And Judge Newman wrote a dissent, a long dissent, going meticulously through the entire statute and kind of section by section.
And I'll just, for our listeners, there are various benefits you can get, educational benefits you can get. And the question was—
Like the GI Bill.
Yeah. He had taken a benefit under one program, and then he wanted to take a benefit under a second program that he had qualified for. And it was basically said, you're out of time. You can't do that. So it was a statute of limitations type
issue. It wasn't actually a statute of limitations. It was whether or not you can get both, or or you have to fold them into one.
Right.
So, which required fairly intricate statutory construction, how each section tracks with some other section, because one part of the bill was written post-World War II, it was the Montgomery Bill.
Right.
And the other part of the bill was written after 9/11, so there's like 40-year or 50-year apart and how to figure out how they work together. It's not for the faint-hearted.
No.
And it's a dense issue. Anyway, so the Federal Circuit took the case en banc with all 12 judges. They heard it. Judge Newman was in dissent. And here's kind of the key point. The opinion came out in December 2022, right in the midst of Judge Newman's supposed falling apart mentally and physically.
Exactly.
Right? So if you recall, Judge Moore alleged that Judge Newman had a heart attack back in 2021, started slowing down. By 2022, was really not keeping up with the court's work. And by February 2023, was already suspended.
Right.
Fast forward to 2024.
So this came out December 22nd, right?
December 22nd.
And 2 months later, she's suspended
because she can't keep up with her work, and she's not up to par.
Right.
Fast forward to 2024. Supreme Court, of course, took cert on this case. And this week. They reversed the Federal Circuit and not only sided with Judge Newman on the outcome that the veteran should prevail, but sided with Judge Newman on the reasoning. So they also, because there were two dissents. One was Judge Newman's dissent, basically saying, look, even if you go through the statute, just read through it and figure out how it fits. Veteran wins. Judge Reyna also wrote a dissent, which Judge Newman joined. Judge Reyna mostly hung his hat on the so-called pro-veterans canon, saying basically, look, the statute may be unclear, but the thumb on the scale goes to the veteran.
Yeah, you're not going to get Kavanaugh's vote, apparently, on that.
So, but Supreme Court didn't even touch pro-veterans canon. They said just pure statutory construction, just like Judge Newman did, means the veterans won.
But I think Kavanaugh and Barrett did put in something saying they don't like the canon.
They didn't say they didn't like it. They said, we don't, in an appropriate case, we should reconsider it.
Yeah.
But the point is that, this is a very complicated case. It's not one of those sort of run-of-the-mill easy. This is a complex case. 10 Federal Circuit judges just got it wrong. And the one quote-unquote disabled judge, the one who doesn't know what she's doing, got it exactly right and got, got endorsed. Her opinion got endorsed by the—
And I just want to say this is Rudisil v. McDonough is the name of the case. We haven't said that yet.
Yeah. And the thing that I love about it that is really the icing on the cake is that it was December 22nd. It's not like you can say that this is, this is before anything had happened. This is exactly the time where they're saying, oh, no, she's disabled, right?
Right.
So it really does bring it home.
Well, and taking positions that don't make sense. They said that about her as well.
So right. If you recall, in the early order starting this whole process, one of the allegations was that Judge Newman, quote, routinely makes comments in open court that shows she doesn't have a grasp of legal issues. And again, I say, well, who doesn't have a grasp of legal issues when the Supreme Court reverses you pretty, pretty forcefully?
Yeah, and this goes to another point about how this doesn't just hurt the judge; it also hurts the legal system
because, and the litigants.
And the litigants, because what if there wasn't this dissent? What are the odds the Supreme Court takes the case?
They just had another en banc that she wasn't sitting on.
Right, right.
We don't know what the vote is in that yet because the decision hasn't come out. But
right.
We know she's often right when the rest of her court is wrong.
Yeah, and it's particularly important on the federal circuit because usually the court takes cases when there's so-called circuit split. When, say, the Second Circuit says A, but the Fourth Circuit says B, and so the court needs to bring some uniformity. But the federal circuit is exclusive court for patents, for veteran appeals, for MSPB appeals, for lots of things where the only way to get, you know, this circuit split, since there's no other circuit, is to see a dissent. And Judge Newman is a prolific dissenter and who's often vindicated in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and that is something that I've been surprised, you know, I shouldn't say that because obviously Judge Newman has gotten a lot of support from a lot of different directions. But if I was a practitioner, I don't practice in any of those areas and never have, so I think I've been there once by accident through no fault of my own.
You filed in the wrong court? Or
no, I was dragged there. But in any event, but the point of it is that if I was a someone who practiced there, I would be livid.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think the court is losing an important perspective. I mean, obviously at some point Judge Newman will get off the court as, you know, one way or another,
right,
as we all, like, you know, will finish our career. But in the meantime, while she's still able to do it, I think the court, the litigants in the country is losing a valuable perspective. And the Supreme Court is losing a valuable kind of flag as to whether or not their intervention is needed.
They did not cite Judge Newman by name in the opinion.
They didn't. I think they know where this is, you know, where the Newman case is headed. And so I don't think they wanted to tip their hat. But it just goes to show, you know, when
tip their hat or tip their hand.
So tip their hand. But again,
either
tip
one.
Their hand, right. But I think it just goes to show something that we've argued in our filings in the Newman case that, you know, Judge Moore and her colleagues were saying, well, Judge Newman can't, you know, quote unquote, carry out the duties as a judge. She's not efficient, right? One of the reasons for suspending her is that she's not doing the work efficiently. And so we point out, like, well, what does that mean? Is efficiency being fast but wrong, or being slow but right, writing fewer opinions? And look,
you know what's really inefficient? What's really inefficient is taking a correct decision by Judge Newman, forcing an en banc on that decision that's wrong, and then forcing the U.S. Supreme Court to rehear the decision again and get it right. The exact place we've landed is where we were when Judge Newman wrote the original panel decision.
2 years ago, right?
Right?
So,
inefficient.
Right, and I understand that. Of course, litigants want the answers quicker, right? And yes, justice delay is justice denied, but, you know, as somebody who both is an attorney, somebody who was also sometimes a client, I would prefer to get the answer right rather than the answer fast. And sometimes you can't do both. And so this just, again, goes to our argument before Judge Cooper saying that this efficiency, this it's so vague. It's kind of – it's totally standardless.
Yeah, and also another factual thing in this case is she wasn't that slow when you look at everything
right.
else that's going there. We've just accepted the fact, saying,
right.
and because it doesn't matter legally,
right.
but it's not accurate.
Yeah. Right.
we would challenge that premise
right.
As well.
Exactly.
And just to be completely clear about it, the wrong judges in this case, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, include Chief Judge Moore, Judge Taranto, and Judge Prost, i.e. the three judges who are leading the charge against Judge Newman.
Yes.
So are you going to use this in your case?
I think our briefing before Judge Cooper is done, but certainly if there's oral argument, I already kind of previewed it for him during last oral argument. I did say to him that Supreme Court just taken the case, and based on the tenor of their oral argument, Judge Newman is going to be vindicated. And now I can say, and I was right. So
oh, it's a twofer.
Right.
Judge Newman was right, and Greg Dolan is right.
So we're certainly going to highlight it for him. We certainly, the press has picked up on it that, you know, that not only, again, the court vindicated Judge Newman's outcome, but also her reasoning. So I think if Judge Cooper is willing to reach the merits, I think it's an important fact to consider that no, this judge is not out to lunch. This judge actually, you know, is full control of the faculties, understands the law, understands how statutory construction works.
It's prima facie evidence.
Better than her colleagues.
Prima facie evidence of her competence.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and I did, you know, there's still some cases out there that she completed while we were doing this litigation. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe there'll be another one of these before it's all over. But
I almost wonder whether some of this animosity that we saw against Judge Newman surface in 2023 was already at play in December of 2022, and that the reason that this was that they were able to get the en banc vote had something to do with these inappropriate feelings toward Judge Newman. You know, I don't have any proof of that, but it just the timing of it is uncanny.
And, you know, and and maybe there's something to that. And I have no, that's pure speculation, but there's some potential.
That's my
something
specialty,
to,
Greg.
there's potential something to it because Federal Circuit doesn't go en banc very often. I mean, it's not as rare as in the Second Circuit, which never goes en banc. But it's not an everyday occurrence, right? They're not like Fifth Circuit that goes en banc quite often.
Twice before lunch.
Right. Yeah. But they're you know, in fact, when the en banc court that you mentioned, Mark, when Judge Newman was already suspended, there was even comments on blogs and newspaper. This is the first time in like 2 years or so they went en banc. So it may very well be that they looked at her panel opinion and said, this is incompetent. But they were wrong again.
So, Greg, thank you for joining us. I have enjoyed this segment, and I enjoyed the opinion, and I enjoyed the fact of it. So thanks very much.
Thank you.